Hi, I'm Sarah Flower, and thanks for listening to KSUT. This week marks a year since we've been learning about, fighting about, debating about COVID-19. And joining us today and every Monday is Leanne Jalan, the Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health Department, who has been guiding us in Southwest Colorado throughout this pandemic. Leanne, this past weekend, some interesting news came out from the Southern Ute Indian Tribe in that they've discovered the new COVID-19 variant. I feel like every time we talk, there's a new something, a new chapter to look at a COVID-19. What does this new variant mean for you and your team at San Juan Basin and how we're fighting this pandemic?
Thanks for asking about this. And you're absolutely right. We are about 1 year in to working through this pandemic as a community. And there are always new twists and turns. And, you know, we've talked for a long time. In the beginning of this, it was called a novel coronavirus. And that, you know, literally meant it was a new coronavirus. And so we were all going to learn lots of new things together. And here we are a year later, still, you know, learning as a community and as a public health world how we're going to continue to respond to this. So there have been multiple variant strains identified of COVID-19 in the last couple of months. And we have some that have been labeled variants of concern, meaning that enough has been studied about the variant to indicate that it either is more transmissible or it is creating more severe infection, more severe disease, and higher rates of death. So those are the variants of concern. And the one that I think people are most familiar with is the B.1.1.7, which is also known as the UK variant. And we saw that when the UK, when that became the dominant strain circulating in the UK, they had high increase in infections and really overwhelmed the healthcare capacity of the country. So we are in the U.S. working on creating more capacity to do genomic sequencing of cases to determine where there are variants in the U.S. and what types of variants there are. So what we discovered here locally in Southwest Colorado is through Colorado's genomic surveillance program is that we do have variant cases in Southwest Colorado. We have one variant of concern under suspicion, and we also have cases of variants or mutations that have not yet been labeled variants of concern, but they're being watched very closely by the CDC and watched by the state health department to kind of learn more about what this mutation means in the local communities where it occurs.
And this is where you and your team take a step back and the CDPHE jumps in and does the case investigation with the Southern Ute Indian Tribe.
We started the case investigation when this was initially a positive case, but because it is through genomic sequencing has found to be a variant of interest there, we turn it over to the state health department, who also is working with the CDC on these cases. And, you know, and the reason is that there's still lots of unknowns about what it means to have these mutations. It's still to be determined if this is the California variant. And it's still going to be determined if this California variant gets labeled as a variant of concern. But what we're seeing in these variants is there are mutations occurring in the spike protein, which is how the virus kind of attaches to our human cells. If the virus gets better at attaching to our cells, it can kind of infect us more easily and replicate more quickly in any given host. So these types of things are really being studied all across the country and all across the world to determine exactly what's going to happen. We're not introducing these mutations in controlled environments, right? So if California was relaxing protocols when this mutation popped up, we can't really tell, is it more transmissible or did it have more opportunity to spread because individuals were starting to gather again? Or because it was winter and people were spending more time inside. The most important thing, though, that people have to realize is that what this means to us is we have to still follow our protocols, right? We have to wear our masks. We have to maintain our 6-foot distance. We want to be really careful in mixing households. And if you're symptomatic or exposed, you need to go in for a test, because we still owe it to ourselves and our community members to keep our, you know, case rate and our incidence of COVID-19 low and lower and lower in our community, because that's going to not only keep us safer as individuals, but it's going to interrupt this transmission and the development of these mutations into variants that potentially can cause us more harm.
Is it time to double down with this new variant? I mean, what changes as far as how to protect everyone?
If we follow our protocols that we have in place right now, right, and we still remain careful, be thoughtful around how we're spending our time, right? And this is such a tricky time because we're fatigued, right? We're a year into this. We are tired of the day-to-day protocols. And we feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel because, you know, people are starting to get vaccinated. You know, Colorado expects to expand supply, and we are expanding who's eligible over the next couple of weeks. So this is all really good news. But with the mutations, with the variants, with passing this insanely heartbreaking, grim milestone of knowing that 500,000 Americans have died over the last year, you know, we're in a very kind of mixed message time in this pandemic.
Well, let's talk about what's opening up. The federal government and Governor Polis has said this will be a great rollout for vaccines, and hopeful that light at the end of the tunnel is getting brighter.
Colorado is in 1B2 right now. And 1B2, you know, as everyone is familiar with, is 65 to 69 year olds, and educators, childcare workers, and state government were added into 1B2. Colorado announced at the end of last week that at the end of this week, 1B3 will open. This has a limited number of frontline essential workers. It's specific to individuals working in grocery and in agriculture, but it also opens up everyone who's over the age of 60 and people who are 16 to 59 with 2 or more high-risk conditions. And the conditions are specifically listed at our website and at the CDPHE website.
Leanne, this is a big window.
It's a huge window. And so I think what's really important to know is that this phase is opened up in anticipation of the supply chain increasing. So just because on paper this phase has opened up doesn't mean everybody who's over 60, who's 16 to 59 with 2 high-risk conditions or works in grocery or agriculture is going to be able to get a shot first day it opens, right? I think that the governor has laid out that he expects this phase will take about 6 weeks to work through. But halfway through this phase, we're going to also add in a whole bunch more individuals across the state. So the governor is planning towards the end of March to add in 1B4. And 1B4 is everyone who's over 50, it's higher ed, it's additional frontline essential workers, it's faith leaders, it's other local government, and then 16 to 49 with 1 of the high-risk conditions. So the interesting thing is we're opening up in Colorado 1B3, you know, at the end of this week, and then just a few weeks later, planning to open 1B4. 1B4 starts to look like most Coloradans. So we're really hoping that the supply chain keeps up with these phases as they open, but we're going to have to ask people to be really patient, because when your phase opens, now it doesn't mean you're going to be able to get in the first week, right? And, you know, we did this as a community. When 1B2 had educators and childcare workers, we got 3/4 of them in within days of it opening. That's not going to be the case for the next phases. So, you know, it kind of tying it back to, so what does it mean if we have these variants and we're increasing vaccine supply and we're increasing who's eligible? We have to remember good things are on the horizon, but we have tremendous responsibility still as community members to follow protocols and do the right thing because we're not going to work through these phases as fast as we would like.
Leanne Gillon, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health Department. Is there anything else you'd like to add for us here today?
We really do want to recognize, you know, we've been going through this as a community for a year. And we have suffered through, you know, unspeakable tragedies locally and nationwide. You know, hearts have broken across the country in big, big ways and in small ways. It is heartbreaking to not have children in school. It is heartbreaking for individuals to lose their jobs. It is heartbreaking to cancel, you know, milestones and events that we all need as humans to mark time, whether it's your high school graduation or your child's, you know, christening or even, you know, a funeral for a loved one passing. We have made such sacrifices over the last year, and we thank the community for being with us every step of the way, being willing to make these sacrifices and know that our individual choices save lives. Thank you for all of this work, and we're hoping to continue to get through it together.
Leanne Gillon, thank you so much for your time today and every Monday here on KSUT for our weekly COVID-19 update.